You have your Bibles today, 1 Kings chapter 17. Title, Where is God? Very familiar reading in 1 Kings chapter 17. And Elijah the Tishbite, who was of the inhabitants of Gilead, said unto Ahab, As the Lord God of Israel liveth, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years, but according to my word. And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, Get thee hence, and turn thee eastward, and hide thyself by the brook Cherith that is before Jordan. And it shall be that thou shalt drink of the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to feed thee there. Sounds pretty good so far. So he went and did according to the word of the Lord, for he went and dwelt by the brook Cherith that is before Jordan, and the ravens brought him bread and flesh in the morning, and bread and flesh in the evening, and he drank of the brook. And it came to pass after a while that the brook dried up because there had been no rain in the land. Now, I know we're all pretty spiritual in here, at least we think we are sometimes, but everybody sitting in this assembly has asked the question, Where's God? Where are you at? And in Kings, what we've read here in 1 Kings 17, the prophet here was sent by God to tell King Ahab that there would be no rain in Israel for 42 months. And with great confidence, this man who had heard from God goes before the wicked king and makes this announcement. He declares war on the enemy and with God in his corner, makes some very bold statements. And God backs him up. I'm going to tell you this, God will always back you up if you'll take a stand for him. Don't cave in, no matter what. Though his words were accurate, Elijah had no idea that the drought was going to affect him too. After he told the king, he got the direction, he went to the brook and he sat there and life was pretty good while there was famine or no rain in the land. There will be times in our life when it seems like heaven shut up, even though you're in the will of God, and there's no rain. The brook we get our water from dries up, and we're left without no source of hope, and our outlook isn't what it used to be, and we get down on life, even though you're in the will of God, even though you know you've heard from God. And we get down on life, and sometimes the things that we've been dealt with, it seems that the majority of our life, if you be honest with yourself, is waiting on God more than getting the miracle. And so we need instructions on how to wait on God than we do on how to receive the miracle. I believe we need to learn how to receive, but before you're ever going to receive, you're going to have to wait. God doesn't move when we want him to move or how he wants us to move. According to most of us, we believe in the miraculous power. We have to admit that we probably, as I said, spend more time waiting for the miracle than actually seeing it. We've all been in that situation where we know we need God to move, and we need God to move desperately, and we need God to move now. And what happens is God doesn't do that. And for a period of time, and it sometimes seems like months, it seems like years, it seems like a long time, we actually wait on God. And then when the miracle comes, we tell ourselves it was longer waiting than it was receiving, because the miracle comes and the miracle goes. Amen. But waiting on God is what we need to do. Patience is hard to come by. You don't know what's going on. You don't know what's going on around you. You don't know why you had to wait. And a great scripture in Daniel chapter 10, the Bible talks about Daniel, and I'm not going to read it for time's sake, but it's up there that Daniel, amen, was praying for 3 full weeks, fasting and praying, amen, didn't eat, amen, anointed himself at all times, amen, until the 3 weeks were fulfilled. He had been engaged in fasting and mourning and praying for a period of 3 weeks. That's not long, amen, but it seems like a long time when we want God to move. We sometimes won't wait 3 minutes. We sometimes get our neck out of joint if God doesn't move overnight. Amen. But here's Daniel, amen, praying for 3 long weeks. Amen. And nothing comes until the end of the 3 weeks. In Daniel chapter 10, on down, the Bible says, "Then he said unto me, Fear not, Daniel, for from the first day that thou didst set thine heart to understand, and to chasten thyself before thy God, he said, those words were heard. Amen. And I've come for thy word." Amen. Immediately as Daniel began to pray, amen, an angel was sent from heaven, amen, to move for Daniel. Amen. But something took place. In verse 13, the Bible said that the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me, amen, in 20 days. But Michael, one of the chief princes, came, amen, to help me. What is he saying? Amen. When the angel was dispatched from heaven, amen, the devil met him, and there was a battle engaging in the upper world. I'm here to tell you people, you don't have any idea what's going on in the upper world as a battle's being fought for you, amen, between heaven and hell. And all you've got to do, amen, is believe that what you heard from God is God's word. You're not giving up. You're not backing up. But you're going to stand, because there could be a battle going on in the upper world for you today. We can't see what's going on in the upper world. We know nothing about that, but I'm telling you what, there's battles fought for you in a realm of which most people know nothing about. This realm doesn't lie between D.C. and Moscow. That's not the battle. Its central point is not found in the Middle East. It's a battle that is fought for you in the heavens. We never see it. We don't always know what's going on. I know we think we do. We think we've got it figured out. Amen. We know what we need more than God. But I'm telling you what, as I said, amen, many times, what we think we need and what God thinks we need, they're very different things. Amen. And if we go try to do it on our own and every door is closed, amen, we try it this way and it doesn't work, it seems like everything we touch begins to fall apart. And all God's trying to do is get us to stop and say, "God, please take over." Amen. "I'll mess it up, God." Amen. "When I'm in charge, I mess it up." And so what are you going to do in times of difficulty? I'm here to tell you this. You can't make it rain. The brook dries up. You can't change the situation. Amen. So what are you going to do? We've all been in that point. It's going pretty good when the brook was full and the ravens was coming. It was doing pretty good when he was sitting there kicked back, drinking from the brook, getting fed from the ravens. But little did he know that the famine was going to touch him too. The brook dries up, as it said in 17:7. I know what we would say. "God, you told me to do this. You told me to go this way. And look at the brook. It's dried up." This man needed a miracle. It's called rain. From a human perspective, it certainly seemed to be what he needed. But Elijah may have asked for rain, but it wasn't time for it to rain yet. He soon discovered the truth that we got to acknowledge at times. What we need to understand is we're looking for the miracle instead of the direction. We want the miracle, but we don't want the direction. But to get to the miracle, you got to have direction. To get to where God wants you to be, You got to follow what God wants you to do. And that's where we cave in. We don't want to go there. We don't want the brook to dry up. We just want the miracle. I've been there. I know what it is. We've all been there. We want God to move. We want God to move, but we do not want the direction. If we allow ourselves to be overwhelmed with what we want, we're going to miss what God wants. Blessing and miracles come and go. But I'm going to tell you what, church, direction will last you for a lifetime. If you follow God, if you follow God, the direction He gives you, it might be some of the crooked paths, but He's promised them to straighten them out. He might be a mountain, but He's promised you that you will be able to level it. He promised you that He would take you to the fire. He would take you through the lion's den. But we got to follow the direction if we're ever going to get the miracle. I don't want the direction. I don't want to go through that. I preached, was it last week, about Daniel. Daniel stood there. He knew what the decree was. He knew what would happen to him. But he went ahead and prayed. You got to follow the direction. I don't care where it takes you. God's in control of this thing. Amen. Miracles come and go. But the direction God will give us, gives us, will have a lasting effect on us. In Exodus 3, amen, here we have Moses, amen, going out and finding the burning bush. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him, amen, in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush. And it looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire, and it was not consumed. And Moses saw it. Amen. And Moses said, I will turn aside and see this great sight. Amen. This bush is not burnt. And when he got up there, the Lord saw, and he turned aside to see and called him out of the midst of the bush. And Moses said, here I am. And he said, draw not hither. He told him to take his shoes off from thy feet, for the place you stand is holy ground. Moreover, he says, I am the God of thy father Abraham, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God. And the Lord said, I have surely seen the afflictions of my people which are in Egypt, and I have heard their cry by the reason of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrows. I am come down to deliver them out of the hand of heat of the Egyptians, and to bring them up out of the land into a good land, and a large land that's flowing with milk and honey, unto the place of the Canaanites, and the Hittites, and the Amorites, and the Perizzites, and the Hivites, and the Jebusites. And therefore, behold, the cry of the children of Israel has come to me, and I also have seen the oppression. Amen. In verse 10, he said, come now, therefore, and I will send thee unto Pharaoh, that thou mayest bring forth my people, our children, amen, out of Egypt. Amen. I'm telling you what, I've preached a message a few years back, amen, about you were not at my burning bush. You did not hear what God told me. You wasn't there when he spoke to me. And when Moses went down to Egypt, amen, they bellyache and they complained. They told Moses to leave us alone. You've made things worse. Amen. But Moses, in the back of his mind, amen, was saying, you was not at my burning bush. You did not hear what God spoke to me. And I'm here to tell you, people, that day when Moses got that direction, amen, that patterned his life, amen, for the rest of his life. Amen. That set forth a pattern for the way he lived and what he did and how he believed. I'm here to tell you this. Get a hold of the direction. I know you're asking where God's at, but get a hold of the direction. Where do you want me to go? Amen. How do you want me to walk? If this is the way you want me to go, so be it. I'll follow. You lead. I'll walk. The brook might dry up, but I'm going to believe that my God's God. I'm going to believe, and he's going to lead me. He's going to guide me no matter where we go. So what am I trying to say? Get a hold of the direction that God has given you. And you look people in the face and you tell them, you was not at my burning bush. Bible says in Hebrews, because of what Moses did, it says through faith, he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, lest be destroyed, the firstborn should touch them. By faith, what happened? They passed through the Red Sea as dry land, which the Egyptians are saying to do were drowned. Go get them out. He did. I'm not saying he had some issues. I'm not saying he was one of those, why me? And we've done that before. Call somebody else. Let somebody else do it. God doesn't always pick who we think he should. He picks those that sometimes we shake our head at. Moses wasn't a very eloquent speaker. He did say at the burning bush, didn't want to do it. And so the key to receiving from God is being committed to what he says. Although at this moment you want it to rain and it can't, and it won't. You can do all of the praying and you can do all that and it doesn't happen. I've been in situations where I have prayed and prayed and prayed and prayed and prayed and nothing's happened. So what do? You just pray and pray and pray and pray some more. What do? You just pray and pray and pray and pray some more. Because once you quit, you'll never see the end of the road. You'll never see what God's got for you. What does the proverb say? Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not to thy own understanding. Get that right, that's half of it. Man, we got to do that. In all thy ways, acknowledge him. And what? He'll direct thy path. We must believe that he's able. If you don't believe that he's able, then that's your first problem. He's able to do. Last week I used the scripture, now unto him that is able to do what? Exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power which worketh in us. According to what that faith is. To do what is best for me, I know he will. If we love him, we serve him, we're going to have to submit to him. We're going to have to depend on him. We're going to have to do for him. We're going to have to believe in him, not to our own understanding, because we cannot do this by ourselves. When we try to do it by ourselves, we mess it up so bad. Talking in Bible study about Abraham, God told him to get out of the country and told him where to go. Famine came, and where did he go? He went to Egypt. God didn't tell him to go to Egypt. He went down there to find food. He didn't trust that God could deliver him through the famine. He got down there and got himself in some hot water with Pharaoh. Pharaoh kicked him out of Egypt. But the key to that whole thing, there was a little slave girl called Haggai that went with him. If he would have never went to Egypt, he would have never ended up with her. So you see how it works? When we try to figure it out, we mess it up. He took Haggai, and you know the end of the story. You know the rest of the story. That story's still going on in the Middle East. Hey, man, so we know that we can't do that. My understanding's flawed. If we lean on it, we'll never make it. In all our lives, we've got to trust and be confident of God's wisdom, God's power, God's goodness. And it says there in verse 6, in all thy ways acknowledge him. In all thy ways acknowledge him. We've got to believe there is an almighty hand of God ordering all things in the universe and also the affairs of my life. We've got to ask ourselves, hey man, what am I going to do? There are times in my life, hey man, that I'm asking myself, what am I going to do? I've got to make a decision right here. I've got to make my mind up right here. Hey man, which path am I going to take? Hey man, God's saying go this way, but I'm saying it's better to go that way. And when
when I'm at the fork of the road, what am I going to do? I've went that way many times and messed it up. I've learned in my life right amid the hard knocks. I've learned in my life right now, I'm going to go God's way. I might not be able to see over the hill or around the corner, but I know I serve a God that's able. I serve a God that's can. I serve a God that can reach down, amen, and deliver and move. I'm telling you what, people, my God is above all. Amen, there is no other name. There is no other power. There is no other name under heaven. Amen, but the name of Jesus Christ. I don't care what anybody else says. I'm tired of being tolerant. I'm tired of saying, okay, no more of that garbage. I'm standing on what I know. I'm standing on whom I believe, and his name is Jesus Christ. Amen. Tired of being tolerant today when we don't know what to do in times of drought. What are we going to do? David's got a great scripture in Psalms 46 and 10. Be still. Be quiet. Quit squirming. Quit looking over your shoulder. Just be still. And what? And know that I am God. And I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. God speaks a direct prophetic word, not only to David, but when we read it, that's a direct prophetic word to you. As he brings peace to the earth, he will bring peace to your heart. We can experience the now of God. Now, the first time that they ever heard God use a name for himself was at the burning bush. He didn't call himself Jehovah. He didn't call himself God. He didn't call himself Yahweh. He says, I am. And that word I am is present tense. There's a lot of people you talk to about God. They'll talk about the apocalypse. They'll talk about what's going to happen in the Revelations. We studied Revelations for a year and we learned a lot, speculated a lot. But when people start to bring God into the present, they get real, real nervous. When he brings him into the I am, that is the realm of right now, and that bothers a lot of people when you do that. They don't want God in the now, Brian. I want God in the now. The Bible says in Hebrews, now faith, not tomorrow's faith, but now faith. I want God in the now. I want God today. I want to see him move now. I want to see and feel his presence now. And so we don't want to do that. We get nervous, amen, when it is a now. He said, I am. I want to know him. I want to know God's God. I want to experience him in the quiet of my heart. This is rational. It's not merely theological knowledge. I mean, a lot of people have theological knowledge, but spiritually they couldn't fight their way out of a wet paper sack. Oh, they know the word inside and out, but they don't know the writer. They don't know the maker. They don't know the creator. I want to know him as my security. I want to know him as my stability. Amen. In the middle of the storm, David said in Psalms 37, 4 and 5, delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thy heart. Commit, there's that word again, commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. He might not bring it to pass the way I want it done. He might not bring it to pass how fast I want it done, but I'm telling you what, he will bring it to pass the way he wants it. The word delight, this passage, it means to be soft. It means to be delicate. It means to be pliable. To delight in the Lord means to say, God, I don't understand what you're doing, but I'm going to follow it. Amen. I'm not going to fight it. I don't know what direction you're going. Amen. I'm not going to become hardened against it. A lot of people get bitter because of the way God moves. I could be bitter right now because of the way God moved. He moved in areas I didn't like. Things happened to me that I didn't understand, and I could be bitter about it. But where would I be? Where would bitterness get me? Amen. I don't want to be bitter. I want to be pliable. I want to be delicate. I want God to be able to use. Amen. I want God to be able to anoint. I want to be a conduit between between heaven and earth. Amen. It's not by might. It's not by power. But it's by my Spirit, saith the Lord. I want to be able to say and humble myself before God and say, I didn't like it. I don't understand it. Amen. But I will follow, and I'll follow hard after you. As the hart panteth after the water brook, so shall my heart panteth after you, O God. Oh, that could be better. We all could be better about things. I could be hard, and I don't like the way this is going, but I'm not going to give any resistance. I'm going to trust you. The prophet could have panicked. Could have. But when you panic, what good does it do you? Ask yourself. You get all mad. You get all panicky. And after that fit and spell's done, where are you at? Right where you started. You didn't accomplish anything. Oh, yeah, sometimes you feel better. I remember one time I was cleaning out my shed. Kim or somebody, probably me, not her. I won't blame her on this one. Stuck a hose in there and it got wrapped around everything. And man, I started throwing garden tools, bicycles. It's a good thing I had a privacy fence so the neighbors couldn't see. Rakes was coming out of there. And after I had cluttered the yard up with everything, I don't know which one of the kids, one, they all kind of smart alecky anyway, but they were older then, and one of them looked at me and said, I'm not cleaning this up. So after I created this big mess in the backyard, Ed, for a few minutes, it felt pretty good throwing all that stuff out. But for the next hour, I was putting it back. What did I accomplish? Nothing. So when you hit the panic button, you're not accomplishing nothing. Amen? He tried to make it rain. Wasn't God's time. He could have walked away and going to another country. He'd have been in big trouble. That wasn't God. What God wanted him to do. If you're serving God, I tell people all the time, they don't believe God can do it. You believe God can do it? Well, I don't know. You believe in the virgin birth? Oh, yeah. If you can believe in that, the rest of it's a piece of cake. If you can believe a virgin can bring forth a kid and you have no problem with that, nobody has any problem with that. But you talk about miracles? You talk about a move of God? You talk about singing on Sunday? But if you can believe in a virgin birth, you can believe. I know these people in this church have went through things. They believe God can do it. You believe God can do absolutely anything. I asked her last week if she was living right, and she said she guessed she was. She tells me all the time, preaching is not interactive, so leave me alone. But if you can get by the virgin birth, why can't you believe in miracles? Now, I don't see miracles the way we want. I'm going to be honest with you. But do you think I'm going to give up on a miracle? You think I'm going to give up on a move of God? So if you can believe in the virgin birth, you ask, you know, resurrection, oh, yeah, I believe in that. Virgin birth, oh, yeah, I believe in that. You believe God can heal cancer? I don't know, you're going a little far there. Now you're getting a little crazy. You're getting a little out of the box there. It's time we step out of the box. You know, so if you're going to believe God, you're going to have to follow God. The Bible says the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. The word ordered means to make firm, to establish. So God's establishing your steps. The way the righteous walk is directed and confirmed by God, and he delights in his way. So we've got to trust God right where we are, because you can't change the situation. You can't make it rain. You can't move God any faster. So when you wait on God, what happens? God moves. Everybody in here can testify about what God's done for you. But you can also say, I had to wait on God. So what I'm trying to say is, direction molds you greater than the miracle molds you. David said, I've been young and now I'm old. And what? He haven't seen the righteous forsaken nor begging bread. So you got to believe that. Amen. So when God gives you direction, do it. It's written. The Bible says, Jesus said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. His commitment to the will of God is seen in his response. It is written. Amen. So what do? We got to follow. So here, this prophet, amen, it was not going to rain. So the only thing the prophet could do was wait and listen, because it was in the time of that dryness that God was speaking to his heart. How often has it's been so frustrating, amen, concerning something we need God to do? The need is so urgent to us, the answer so clear to us. We pray and we fast and we believe, amen, and we stand, amen, with other believers, and yet it does not rain. Amen. It does not change the situation. So what do? You listen to God, and here comes the word. You get the word of God, and you know what you say in your spirit? You've got to be joking. I have said that. You've got to be kidding me. God doesn't joke that way. So he gives the prophet direction. He gets up, verses 8 and 9. Go. Now listen to what God tells him. Go. Behold, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee. That's when you say, you've got to be joking. You want me to do what? You want me to go talk to who? You want me to go tell her what? You want me to go tell my neighbor what? You want me to go tell that guy at work that just gets on my last nerve? You want me to tell him what? You want me to go witness to him? You come on. He discovered God was going. Now, he had a choice. I'm telling you what. Obeying the command to go to the widow's home, and he unlocked a provision for the prophet, and a miracle was given to the widow woman through this prophet. His faith, his patience, his endurance all grew as a result of hearing the instructions of God. Now listen, when the Lord is not moving in the way you would like him, consider that this may be a time to sharpen your listening skills. And the only way you can sharpen your listening skills is you gotta keep your yap shut. I believe a lot of us ought to have spiritual duct tape in our home and just put it across our mouth. Oh, you can think it. You can think it all you want. But buddy, you better not let it come out. The issues of life or death are in the power of the tongue. And when we start complaining about things, right there is our first downfall. The devil will try to get you to believe that the direction is too hard, too long. Amen. You just need to forget it. But at the end of the direction is where your miracle lies. And as I said, you'll never get the miracle without the direction. So the prophet is heading to this city, amen, to look for a woman who can't even feed herself, amen, to feed him. How crazy is that? Proverbs says, the ear that heareth the reproof of life abideth among the wise. You want to be smart? Listen to God. Listen, because a miracle may be approaching, but from a different direction that you anticipated. The children of Israel had prayed for years for a deliverer. They looked for a conquering hero who would come and deliver them from Rome with military force, sweeping them out of their bondage to be a free nation. However, God was sending a miracle, amen, through a baby and a woman, amen, and wrapped in swaddling clothes. His name was Jesus. And God had a plan that defied human logic. It was a human couldn't think of it, and the human timetable wasn't right. Amen. But it was his plan nonetheless, and redemption eventually came through God's method, which was an old rugged cross that the Jews couldn't grasp. Amen. But the Bible says, unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. They didn't understand it. They Their deliverer was there. Their redeemer was there. But they couldn't find God's direction. Oh, God, don't let me be so blind that I can't see you. Isaiah says, "For as my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." I'm going to tell you what, people, the supernatural is not just an extension of the natural. The supernatural is above the natural. It's just not an extension, it's above. I want to live and walk in the supernatural. That's where a lot of us miss it. We don't want to live there because there's a price to pay to get there. We don't want to pay that price. We want to sit by the brook. We want to eat the fish, and we want to be fed by the ravens, and we want to drink there. And also when the brook dries up, we don't want to pay the price. We don't want to listen to God. What did the Bible say? A very small scripture, but very powerful. Obedience is better than sacrifice. There is a distinct break between the thoughts and ways of God and us. He thinks as we cannot. He acts in ways that we cannot act or even think. Therefore, when he touches down on earth with actions that are his, there has been a breakthrough from the natural to the supernatural. And when we see these things, the only thing we can say is, "But God." But God. We got to understand that God can see around the corner. He can see next week. You may think that's strange, but it's the truth. Sometimes the battle and the heartache leads you to a greater thing. There's a story of a little town in Alabama that grew cotton years ago. And all of a sudden they had a little bug called the boll weevil came in and destroyed all the cotton plants in this town. Now that's pretty bleak because that was their main source of employment and income. One of the guys in town got a bright idea. "Hey, let's plant peanuts." Yeah, they planted peanuts, and in a couple years, the town had more money, more employment than they ever had before. The tragedy of the boll weevil got them thinking about what they need to do. Sometimes the situations in our life gets us thinking, we need to pray. We really need to get a hold of God. And when we start doing that, all of a sudden God starts ministering to us and speaking to us. And the next thing we know where we're at, we're in a better situation down the road. But it was because of what we went through. Sometimes we need a fire lit under us. We get so complacent, so comfortable. I preached a message a few years back. I've got so many of them running through my head. Good golly. I'm going to step out of your comfort zone. Do you know, I was reading about the eagle. Mom makes this huge nest, big. She lines it with fur and moss. When the eaglets get big enough, she starts pulling all that stuff out. It's prickly and not very comfortable. And then these birds start sitting on the side of the nest, and Mom comes over and pushes them off. And this little bird's tumbling, trying to flap his wings, and looks like death. Mom swoops down and catches him, takes him back up. Once again, he has to sit on the edge of the nest, and she pushes him off again. Next thing you know, he's flying on his own. If she would have never made the nest uncomfortable, he would have never got on the edge, and he would have never learned how to fly. Sometimes God makes us uncomfortable to get us moving. We don't want to move. I got two watches on. I better check one of them. We don't want to move. And so this little town ended up better off because of the tragedy that happened. When you have a decision to make, you need to listen to this scripture. There is a way that seems right unto man, but in the end, there are the end of the ways of death. And Isaiah says, "Remember the former things of old, for I am God, and there is none else. I am God, and there is none like me. declaring the end from the beginning and from the ancient times the things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand and I will do all my pleasure. You believe that? Huh? I'm telling you what. God has blessed me when I didn't deserve it. Through my stubbornness, I got so frustrated. I got so upset. But God still moved for me. His counsel shall stand, mine will not. His pleasure shall work, mine will not. And when we begin to do that, he'll act. The Lord of history has stepped forward in power. What he has said, he will do, and what he has purposed, he will complete. We need the attitude of Job when it says in Job, behold, I go forward, but he is not there. How many's done that? And backwards, but I cannot perceive him. On the left hand, where he doth work, I cannot behold him. He hideth himself on the right hand, that I cannot see him. But he knoweth the way that I take. When he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. Now, I'm telling you what, people. You got to make your mind up. It's a mindset. I tell you all the time, the battlefield isn't so much out here. It's right here in this thing right here. If you can get this thing right here, that's half the battle. You can get it right. I'm telling you what, you can do about anything you want to do. You got to get your mind right. You got to get the garbage out. You got to take inventory sometimes, and you got to say, this is no longer fits, that no longer works. I don't like that color anymore. I need a new pair of shoes, and you need to start throwing stuff out. Get the cobwebs out and begin to understand that God's God. He sees us. Suddenly Job, his eyes are wide open. Maybe for the first time he understands this. God is not punishing him. Though he slay me, yet I trust him. This realization changes Job's whole perspective. Even though the reason for his suffering is still hidden. Man, that's what Job never, ever, ever got an answer. That's what makes me mad. I want an answer. If I go through this, fine. I want to know why. And we never, ever, ever get that answer. And then that song that I want to rip out of the red book, we'll understand it better by and by. Good golly, I'm not going to care less by and by. When I get around the throne, I'm not going to care. I'm not going to care what I went through. I'm not going to care about all the battles. I'm not going to care about all the mountains and the valleys. Amen, Sister Diana, I'm standing in the presence of the Almighty One, so I'm not going to care. I'm not going to run up to Jesus and say, well, show me why, because I want to understand it better. We used to sing it as in the red book, and I'm thinking, older I got, I'm thinking, you know what? There's something wrong with that song. We'll understand it better and better. We're not going to care. But you know that great song says, if I never had a problem, I wouldn't know what faith in God would do. In Job 23:10, but he knoweth the way that I take. When he had tried me, I shall come forth as gold. You got to grab a hold of that. Suffering, there's a reason. Be standing in endurance. Stand for the plan of God. Don't let it get you. So here's the prophet. I'm trying to hurry. Came to pass after these things, he went down, found the woman. And after she fed him, her son fell sick, and his sick was so sore that there was no breath left in him. See, there was a purpose for the prophet to come down, why she sustained him. And we know her crews never ran out, her food never ran out, but why he was there. See, why you get to where you're at and what you're going through, you're going to come across somebody that needs a miracle. This lady's son was sick. She said unto the prophet, what I have to do with thee, O man, and you know the story. I'm hurrying. I'm telling you, people, there's more. Why he's down there, he's at Mount Carmel. And then he tells the prophets of Baal, you do what you need to do. And Elijah said to the people, here's what we're going to do. And he even looked at them And he even said, if God be God, then serve him. If Baal be God, then serve him. And you know the story. Amen. After he put the sacrifice there and filled all and soaked it all down, whoosh, fire of God consumed it. So while he was there, God did some things because he was there. So you don't know why God's directing you to go down that path, because you're going to come across somebody that's going to need you. If you've got the right mindset. If you've got the right mindset. If you're grumbling through it, then you might as well sit down and just wait till you get a better mindset. If you're complaining about it, then you might as well just sit and wait till you get a better mindset. You know, I have never said all the stuff that I went through. I was thinking about this last night. I'm going to be honest with you. I never said, why me? I said, you got to be kidding and you got to be joking quite a few times. Because I've been through every test imaginable and some of them are... But I never said, why me? I thought, why me a few times, but God would always bring back. And let me tell you something, buddy. There's a lot of people in worse shape than you are. You're not on your deathbed. You haven't been given weeks or months to live. So I never said, why me? I didn't understand it. I didn't like it. But I never said, why me? And when we get to the mindset, I'm not telling you I'm super spiritual, because there was a lot of times I'm laying there and saying, God, you've got to be kidding me. I got to go through what test, and they're going to do what to me? I have been poked, prodded in places you don't want to be poked and prodded. I've had more needles jammed in me. And I'm not a fan of needles. But I never said, why me? And I think because of that, my mindset was better. I got to the place where I just said, I can't change this. There ain't a thing I can do about this. So what am I going to do? I'm at the fork of the road. I've only got one avenue. That's to trust God. That's it. And I've asked the question, where are you at, God? Why am I going through this, God? I don't understand this, God. Why don't you move for me, God? And it doesn't rain. So what do you do? But I got to realize that the drought wasn't an accident of nature. My drought wasn't an accident, but God brought me through it. He ended the drought, and it began to rain. See, in this story, the prophet saw a little cloud, and he outran the chariot to tell the king, it's going to rain. Do you want it to rain? Well, if you want the Spirit and the power and the presence of God to move on you, you're going to have to realize that you can't change the situation, and you're not going to move God one inch. So what do? You follow the direction of God. As I said earlier, they that wait upon the Lord, they renew their strength. The patience is taught not to get ahead of yourself, not to move before you need to move. I was growing up, I'm telling you what, my dad prayed about everything. He didn't take a move without God's direction. He bought a red Ford, brought it home for the weekend, took it back, bought a brown one because he didn't think people would like him driving a red car. I'm telling you what, if I could afford a Porsche, I'd drive it in here and nan, nan, nan on you. I'm not like that. I don't care what y'all think. Your opinion don't count when I'm up here. It is my opinion and my opinion only. And if you think that's arrogant, that's not arrogant. You didn't call me, God did. But I'm telling you what, we was going on a vacation one year out west. People went to our church. I told this story 100 times. Brother and sister Stacy, you guys remember them. They moved out west. They called and said, hey, we want to go. Dad didn't go nowhere. I didn't go nowhere until Mom got me by the shirt collar and said, you will at least get away for a week or two. You're not going to let this place bog you down. We was all ready to go. All excited as kids. He come out one day and said, we're not going. Man, we about voted him off the island right there. We about packed his bags and put him on the Greyhound. God told me not to go. I tell you what, we was fired up. I don't know, I was 12, 13 years old. Fired up. About a month later, we get word from the Stacys that they was in a very serious accident that about killed them. And that accident, we would have been right in the middle of it. At 13 years old, I realized what following the direction of God really means. Provision, protection. But you got to be pliable enough to do it. You got to be delicate enough to listen. And if we don't, we're going to miss what God's got for us. I'm going to close. God may have turned us over to some situations that may be a purging in us. But before he did, we need to understand. The Bible says in Romans, likewise the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit, see, he's already moving for us, but the Spirit itself making intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. So right where you're at, don't get anxious. Right what you're going through, don't get anxious. I believe God wants to wow somebody. I believe God wants to amaze somebody. We got to know that the unspoken prayer of the uninformed opinion springing forth from the uninformed mind is valid when prompted by the Spirit who steps in and invests in us. God often uses situations that we can't change or control to make us lean entirely on him. We've all heard the story about the shepherd breaking the one little rambunctious sheep that won't hang with him. He breaks its leg. It's kind of rough. He carries it around for 6 or 8 weeks till the leg heals. Then he puts the little thing back down. And you know, amazingly, that little thing will not leave his side. So sometimes the things we go through makes us lean on him. Because I'm telling you what, people, when things get going good, we forget about who God is. All right? When things get good, we forget about God. So when you can't make it rain, you got to trust God. God's got a plan for you. Okay? You can't see, but he can. You will see the significance of obedience. And in Elijah's situation, the rain eventually came, but God determined to meet Elijah's needs and prosper him long before the first drop fell. I want you to be able to meet the great God at your point of need. I want you to meet Abraham in 22. I want you to meet Jehovah Jireh. The Bible said Abraham called the name of that place Jehovah Jireh. As it is said, in the mount of the Lord it shall be seen. Jehovah Jireh, what is it? He'll provide. I want you to meet that God. I want you to meet Moses. Built an altar and called the name of the place Jehovah Nissi, the Lord my banner. I want you to meet that God today. Oh, hallelujah. In Judges, then Gideon built an altar and called it Jehovah Shalom, the Lord my peace. I want you to meet the one that gives peace that passes all understanding. Ezekiel said it was round about 18,000 measures, and the name of the city from that day shall be, the Lord is here, Jehovah Shammai. The Lord is here. I want you to meet that God today. In Jeremiah, he said, in his days, Judah shall he save, and Israel shall dwell safely. And this is the name where he shall be called, the Lord our righteousness, Jehovah Tsidkenu. I want you to meet the Lord our righteousness. When the devil's got you in a corner, I want you to call on this God. I want you to call on the Anointed One. I want you to stand still and know that He's God. I don't want you to waver or doubt. I don't want you to turn to the right or turn to the left, but I want you to get a focus on who He is. And I'm telling you what, when your back's up against the wall, He'll make a way. Because my God's God. So it's up to you to decide. I want God to astonish you. I want you to say, wow. If you say it backwards, wow. I'm going to be astonished. I'm going to see the power and the anointing. I have said, where's God? But in that situation, He showed up.